Isn't it reassuring to know that we can worship a God who really is famous for being faithful in the past, right? He is famous for showing up and making a way when there seemed to be no way. He cleared a way. Isn't it amazing that we, and reassuring that we get to worship a God who will be faithful with us and for us even in this pandemic, this world pandemic, right? So here's what I'm asking you to do, church. I'm asking you to put your hands together and just tell God thank you for being that kind of God, all right? And you can have a seat. We really are so thankful for you and for being here this morning. And for those of you who are joining us online, for all of us, we hope that you will take the extra step of helping us to get connected to you and knowing who you are. So fill out that connection card, if you will. If you're in here, it's inside your bulletin. If you're online, just look for that link and let us know who you are and how we can help and serve you. That's really what we want to know. We want to know how we can actually serve you, guys, and how we can be praying for you. So we also want to make this, we want to make sure that you are aware. One way that we get to connect is tonight at 6:30 over Zoom. Just this morning, another reminder went out in your email. But you have to sign up for that in advance to get the link for the Zoom call. And what we're going to be doing is hearing from our global partners. You know, you guys give and worship God through your offerings, and you are supporting literally a global work, and you are going to hear, I think it's 5 or 6 global partners who will be on that call tonight, and it's live, and so you'll hear live from them what's happening. Just check your email for that link and register to do that so that you can actually get that Zoom link. And we have to do it that way because many of our global partners are in very dangerous places, and we have to do our best to protect and who's actually showing up and seeing who these people are. And that's how we're able to do that. Well, my name is Rick. I didn't say after all that, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here, right? And we are doing this teaching series. It's called Getting Away. And over, as I've been thinking about this series or this teaching this morning, it made me think of this. How many of you remember the yo-yo? Do you remember the yo-yo? Is this even still a thing among the kids, right? Man, when I was a kid, I couldn't do a yo-yo. And you know what? I'm an adult and I still can't do a yo-yo, so I'm not even going to try. But do you remember your friends who could like walk the dog on the yo-yo? It's like, why? How do you do that? That's amazing. They could make the yo-yo. They'll flip this yo-yo and they'll make it. They call it the sleeper, and the yo-yo would just sit there and spin, right? And then some of your friends, if they're like mine, they could make the yo-yo climb the elevator and go up and down, up and down. It's like, how do you do that? But as I was thinking about where we are in this season of life, and I mean all of us, doesn't it feel a little bit like a yo-yo? We have our ups, we have our downs, right? We've got our ups and we've got our downs. Back and forth. Man, I know towards the end of June, I felt like we were seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with this whole virus thing. And then in July, it just seems like there's some kind of resurgence of that. And I'm just like, ugh. And you just felt all these restrictions continuing, you know. And then, for those of you who have kids in school, in our public school system, right? They got all the schools on this one calendar. August 31st, we're starting school, right? And then all of a sudden, that was enough, you know. You thought you had something, there was some surety there. And then all of a sudden, you hear, ugh. 2 more weeks. We're going to push out the opening until September 14th. Up and down. Right? And then some of you thought they were working their best. It's going to be in person. And then they tell you, oh no, it's virtual. And now they're going back and forth. And it's going to be a hybrid. But we don't know which. We don't know. What's it going to be? Right? It's just back and forth. Up and down. Some of you thought you would be going back to work by now. Up and down. You felt like that the finances, you know, you thought that was going to lighten up a little bit. You thought you saw light at the end of the tunnel. Up and down. And this morning, as we look at this idea of getting away to get closer to God, We're going to look into the scriptures and we're going to see this idea right here. Here's our bottom line, that interruptions are actually opportunities to grow closer to God, not to get further away. And we're going to see this in the life of Job. So take your Bibles and go to the book of Job. I know some of you who may be new to the Bible may think that's Job, Rick. Don't you understand what J-O-B spells? No, it's really about a person. His name is Job and not Job. And so take your Bible. It's the book before Psalms. So if you're online, take time, grab your Bible, go to the book of Job. It's a book about the his life, Job's life. We don't know. The author is never identified in here. But in here, what we're actually going to do, and we're going to do this very quickly, we're going to cover from chapter 1 to chapter 42. So buckle your seatbelts. Here we go in the life and the story of Job. The author tells us this in verse number 1 of chapter 1. There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Oz. And this isn't like, you know, Oz, right? In the land of, so don't get confused there. He was blameless, a man complete of integrity. He had complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. This is something that is important that the author wants us to know, the kind of man that we're talking about, the kind of man that the story that this story is actually about, a man who had all kinds of his world being flipped upside down and yet took them for opportunities actually to draw closer and not to get further away. So the author will go on to tell us that he was a wealthy man, that he had so much wealth in livestock and camels. He had a ton of wealth in sheep. He had a ton of wealth in oxen. He had all this wealth in this livestock. And then the author tells us he also had 10 kids. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And now they are grown. And in fact, the author tells us he was the richest guy in the whole area. So this is who Job is, a man who followed God, a man who stayed connected to God, a man who would pursue God, and a man who was wealthy and was blessed beyond. And so what happens is the author tells us that he enters into a conversation, that God and Satan actually enter into a conversation one with the other. And they tell this story of Satan being with God. And he's known as the accuser. Satan is known as the accuser. And he is coming before God, which that's a whole nother teaching in of itself. But he's there, Satan, before God, accusing or pointing his finger. And then here's what God says to him. I love this. God says to Satan, he says this in verse number 7, I think. 8, in verse number 8. Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from him." Even God is attributing, talking about his walk with himself. He's saying this is who Job is. And now Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear you." And he says, "You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosperous in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out, take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to his face." And so God says this in verse 12, "All right, you may test him," the Lord said to Satan. "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." And so Satan left the presence of the Lord. And sure enough, all of a sudden, one by one, his wealth started disappearing. All the money that he had in camels, all the money that he had in sheep, all the money that he had in oxen, one by one, it was disappearing. He would receive one message after another. "It's been wiped out. Raiders have come in and taken everything that you had," on these different occasions. And then another message would come in, all in a short period of time. Another message came in and said that one of your sons was having the celebration. They had all the family, all of your kids were there, all 7 of your kids, of your sons, all 3 of your daughters, their families, they were all there. And a tornado comes through and wipes them out. "Job, you have lost everything." And Job's response to that is, "Hey, I came into the world with nothing, and I will leave with nothing." He didn't get angry at God. He looked at this as an opportunity. God, what are you trying to do here? What are you trying to teach me here? He looked at this as an opportunity to draw closer to God, not get further away from Him. The story goes on. And it tells us that Satan and God end up in this conversation again. And in this conversation, Satan replied to the Lord, "Skin for skin," he says. This is Satan to God. "Skin for skin, a man will give up everything he has to save his life. But reach out and take away his health." Reach out and if you take away his health, or if you allow me to inflict upon him his health, then he'll curse you. He'll curse you to your face. And what Job does next is he wakes up again in this short period of time. And from his feet to his head, he's covered in these boils. His health is now affected. God allowed his health to be affected in this trial. So he has lost all of his wealth. He's lost all of his kids. And he's now in the process of his health being disintegrated. And as he sits out there, as he contemplates these things, and the author tells us he's scraping these boils off of his arms. As he is doing this, his wife just wants to throw in the towel. His wife is like, enough is enough. His wife shows up and says this in chapter 2 and verse number 9. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity with God? Are you still trying to maintain your relationship with God? Can you still sing, Job, that God is a good God? How can you worship this God? Just curse God. Just curse God and die. Throw the towel in. Enough is enough." I want you to think about this. And wives, I hope that you'll hear me. If you're married, I hope that you'll hear me on this. You know what your husband needs to hear from you? Is that you're behind him. That you believe in him. That you are for him. I tell Zoe all the time. I shouldn't say all the time. I tell her often. Everybody else can be against me. I just need to know that you are for me. That's all I need to know. If you are for me, if you're behind me, then we can do whatever God wants us to do. Job looks at his wife, and no doubt, I can only imagine, because I know how I would feel. If I'm at this low spot and my wife just came in and just says, "Throw in the towel." He responds. Job responds with this. He says in verse number 10, "But Job replied, 'You talk like a foolish woman.'" Notice he did not call his wife a fool. Guys, you heard me on that, right? Husbands, we don't call our wives fools. But he did say, "Honey, you're talking like a foolish person." And then he makes a statement that is one of those drop the mic moments. Look what he says. He says, "Should we accept only the good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" I mean, that's a life-altering thought. Do we only accept the good stuff in our life as from the hand of God? Do we somehow think that the bad stuff that comes doesn't somehow build in us a perseverance, like the Apostle Paul said in Romans, that when we have these trials and these tribulations, that it's about building your character? Christ followers, listen to me. Sometimes we get this wrong. Sometimes we think, "Oh, I'm following God. How come everything isn't up and to the right? It is never, if somehow you bought into a gospel that was like that, it's the wrong gospel. Jesus was very clear. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There are going to be difficult times. There's going to be persecution that comes. The Apostle Peter said it this way, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you are going through as if something strange were happening to you." You know, you just count on it. Remember what James says? He says, count these opportunities as a time for joy. Look for how God is at work and allow God, allow this to draw you closer to God, not push yourself further away when we go through hard times. This should be our perspective. Is it yours? Christ follower, I'm talking to you. Do you have that kind of perspective in the troubles? Do you have that kind of perspective during COVID-19? This is an opportunity to draw you closer to God. Well, the story goes on, and we're introduced to three of Job's friends. And here they show up in his life. They heard about what was happening in Job's life. They show up and they come and near. Go to chapter 2 and verse number 13. It says, they sat on the ground. These three friends, they sit on the ground with him for 7 days and nights. Did you catch that? They leave whatever behind, their businesses, their work. They show up in Job's life, and for 7 days, they just sit there with him, and no one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. Can we get an amen on this? Because sometimes people just need your presence. They don't need a bunch of liturgy. What they need is you. They just need you to be there and sit with them and go through this with them. You don't have to have the right answers. And we're going to see when they start speaking up, they didn't have the right answers. But we can learn from this. We just need to show up and sit with those who are hurting. Job starts speaking some of these thoughts that he's thinking from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 37. In this book, all you have is dialogue between Job, his three friends, and then a fourth person that we're introduced to in around chapter 31. And all it is dialogue back and forth, back and forth. But to summarize some of this dialogue, I want you to see how Job starts processing some of these thoughts, this hurt, this pain that he's experiencing. In Job chapter 3, these are the thoughts of Job. And he's processing them. He says, why is life given to those with no future, those God has surrounded with difficulties? I cannot eat for sighing. My groans pour out like water. What I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest. Only trouble comes. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been there? Couldn't sleep. You toss and turn. Job is right there with you. As he's processing all of this hurt, all of this pain, as you process all of the confusion, as you process, I thought the relationship was going in a good way, and all of a sudden it's blown up. As you process all of that, you're in the same place where Job is. We all find ourselves in this place at some point in our life. And then the friends start to speak in. And there's this common theme as the friends start to speak. There's this theme that we're going to see in their response. And in Job chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse number 8. And this kind of summarizes what all three friends are thinking. They just say it in a different way. And Job's friend says this, my experience shows that those who plant trouble and cultivate evil will harvest the same. but consider the joy of those corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. See, his friends, and this is a common theme that kept on popping up in these chapters, in this dialogue. All of a sudden, his friends start pointing out, well, in my experience, when something bad happens to somebody, it means that they have done something wrong and God is disciplining them. God is trying to get their attention. And you know what? Sometimes that is true. But we know that that wasn't the case here. Because not only does the author tell us who Job is and how he lived his life, even God piped in and God said, this is a blameless man. He's a man of complete integrity. He fears me. So we know this isn't the truth. They, you know, his friends are thinking he's got some sin, some hidden sin in his life somewhere that he hasn't come clean on. And Job's response to this is, so who am I that I should try to answer God or even reason with him? He will not let me catch my breath, but fills me instead with bitter sorrows. I am disgusted with my life. Let me complain freely. My bitter soul must complain. There's something that we can learn from Job's response, and that is, you've got to get it out. You cannot stuff it in. You cannot keep it in. Now, some of you may be more like Job and like me. We are verbal processors. The way I process things is out loud. I talk them out. And sometimes when I hear what I'm saying, I think, well, where did that come from? Well, it's just my thoughts pouring out of my mouth because I'm a verbal processor. And I don't even agree with some of the things I say out loud many times. But some of you are writers. I'm not a writer. I mean, I do my best to journal every morning when I meet with God, and the best I can do is like two or three sentences, you know? And then I go back and try and read, and I can't even read my handwriting. So I'm not a I'm not a writer. Some of you are. You're not a verbal processor. You process it through writing. I encourage you, get it out in that way. Write it out. Your complaint. Let your soul complain. Find some trusted friends that you can pour your heart out to. And then you pour out your heart to God. And you let him know how you're feeling. You process that with him because he already knows how you're feeling. But he knows that you need to get this out. He says, as for me, Job, this is Job in chapter 13. As for me, I would speak directly to the Almighty. I want to argue my case with God himself. That's what we need to do. We need to get to the place where we're just not talking to our trusted friend, but that we're actually dialoguing with God about this hurt, this pain, are not understanding what is going on. See, they are questioning the justice of God. That's really what this whole book is about, is the justice of God. God, where is your justice? Here's a guy that's done everything right all the way through, and look at all the bad that has come upon him. They're struggling. We struggle. And his friends are grasping at straws, trying to make sense of what doesn't make sense. And so the only thing that they can pinpoint is, oh, there must be sin in your life. And that wasn't the case. And what we find in chapter 38 is life-altering. Chapter 38 of Job. And then the Lord answered Job from a whirlwind. And in this whirlwind, the Lord says, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? I mean, can you think about this? Here's the God of the universe having this dialogue with Job. And he's like, are you questioning my wisdom? And then he says, brace yourself. Brace yourself like a man. Because I have some questions for you. And you must answer them. And then here's the start. here's the start, and this will go on for 3 and 4 chapters where God, but he starts it off with this. He says, where were you, Job? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much, if you have so much wisdom, were you there when I laid the dimensions of the earth? Were you there when I hung the earth, that globe in this solar system? Were you there when I hung it at 94 million miles away from the sun so that it wasn't too close where it burns up and not too far where it freezes? Were you there when I created this planet in such a way life could live on it? Were you there when I birthed forth the oceans? Do you know where the springs for the oceans came from, Job? And for one chapter after another chapter, God continues to display his wisdom to Job and telling him, were you there when I created the animal kingdom? Were you there when I created in those animals the instinct to care for their young? Were you there when I created all of the sea creatures? Were you there? Were you at somehow? Were you at their birth? Were you there, Job? Where were you? And God will continue to just to walk through his creation. And all of a sudden, Job realizes, it clicks to him. It's like, oh my goodness. And Job's replies in chapter 42. Job replied to the Lord. And here's what he said. I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. He goes on to say in verse 3, you asked, who is this that questions your wisdom with such ignorance? And then Job says, it is I. I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me, meaning things that I will never be able to wrap my head around and explain. God, and then he says, and then he comes back to God and he says, God, you said, listen and I will speak. I have some questions for you and you must answer them. And notice this is it. You zone in on this. If you miss anything else, hear this. Will you hear this today? And he says, I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. Do you see what's happened in Job's life? Before, we know that he had a relationship with God. We know that he feared God. But he says, compared to how I know you now, on the other side of all these difficulties, on the other side of COVID-19, how I know you now, it's like I've seen you with my own eyes. Can we go through our difficulties looking at him as this opportunity to actually draw closer to God and not get further away? This is how Job responds. He's like, I barely even knew you before all this trouble happened. All this trouble happened in my life, and now it's like I've seen you before my very eyes. This is what we're talking about. And what Job does is he takes this stance. He says, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance, to show that I've changed my mind, to show that you have transformed me in this relationship that you and I have. I take it all back. It's not just I'm sorry, it's I'm going to live differently now. It's not just like, oh God, I'm sorry. It's like, God, this forever has changed my mindset. And from this point forward, I am going to continue to see these times as opportunities to draw closer to you and not push you further away. You see, this is why we're saying interruptions are opportunities to grow closer to God. What opportunities do you have in your life to actually draw closer to God? And that's our very first next step. It says, pray for me. I want to get to the place that Job got to. Man, I know I do. I want to get to this place. I want to get to this place to where Job was at, to where everything could be taken from him. And he poured out his heart, his complaint, but yet ended up even closer to God. Don't you? Don't you want to get in that same spot? Well, we want to pray for you. Our team, when we gather this week, we want to pray for you. The connection card's inside your bulletin if you're in this room. If you're online, just look for the link Or maybe it's easier for anyone, whether you're in the room or online, maybe it's easier for you to just text that word pray to this number that you see on your screen, 401-496-9710. If you just text the word pray and then follow the prompts, we'll be able to pray for you in that way. Now, there may be some who are listening and you are thinking, how in the world could you even have a relationship like that? How did Job have a relationship and dialogue with God like that? That seems so personal. And if that's the way you're feeling, like how can you have that kind of relationship? Then maybe what you need to do is to place your faith and your trust in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why the other next step says, pray for me. I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the way that you, if you don't have the connection card, you can text it. Just text it the same number, but use the word trust. Follow the prompts, and that will allow us to get connected to you. And we would love to reach out to you and explain to you how you too could have this personal relationship like Job had with God. Everyone that's in this room, God knew who was showing up. And everybody who's online, whether you're watching it on Sunday morning or one day during the week, God knows you. And you've been prayed for. We've prayed earnestly that God would speak to you, that He would come alongside of you and show more of Himself to you, because He's the anchor for our soul. And the way that we want to respond this morning is through a song. That song called Anchor, that Jesus is the anchor. He's our hope in our life. So will you stand here in this room, or if you're at home watching, will you sing this song in your heart? I know it's awkward to sing in your house, sitting on your couch. I know that seems weird. Some of you maybe can get away with it. But if you're like me, when I was at home watching online, I would just have to sing in my heart, because my wife would say, "Hey, Rick, be quiet." We want you to engage, because we love you, we care about you, and we want you to hear the message in this song.